love your singing. I mean, this, we don't sing like this. So I think we're going to have a singing workshop in New York City. And get some of you guys out there. You guys are awesome. I just firstly want to thank my brother Anthony and the Brooms and just all of you guys for, you know, bringing me out here. I mean, I didn't pay for my ticket. Chris and Anthony paid for it, and I'm super, super grateful. And I think I'm more inspired than you guys are to go back to New York City and to imitate what's going on here and what you guys are doing.
Man, come on.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Van Staden. You know, that's Dutch. You know, I don't know why there's a van and then a space and then Staden. But I'm originally from South Africa.
Oh, amen.
So I'm an African living in America, so I guess that makes me African American.
Amen, bro.
I just want to be real. I want you guys to get to know the real me. I mean, you guys are awesome. I've built some great friendships. I mean, I love Chip.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Chip? I don't know where he got his name. I don't know if it's because of the chip on his shoulder or something.
Oh, he's struggling.
I said I was going to mention it, but he's awesome. Useful to the master. 1 Samuel chapter 16.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Lay it out, bro.
Did Anthony do a good job last night or not?
To be
useful to the master. God wants to use us guys, I think, in ways that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you ever thought about yourself and thought, what can I really do in this world?
Yep.
What am I really able to do? I mean, I'm just a little guy from Africa. Like, maybe you think I'm just born and raised in Chicago, like the Midwest. What can I do? What world impact can I have? God wants to use you.
That's right, man.
You know, God chose a little shepherd, a little guy in the fields that was running around after sheep to be the king of Israel.
That's right.
And a leader, spiritual leader, and leader of the nation of Israel.
Wow.
For his people. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Today we're going to talk about discipling the heart.
Amen.
Discipling the heart. I guess I don't have to tell you what discipling is. I mean, we all know what discipling is.
Yes,
so I think today I want to focus on the heart.
Amen.
Okay, discipling the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16.
We're with you.
Come on, bro.
So this is after God has already rejected Saul as king. And he sent Samuel to Jesse, which is David's dad, and he says, you know, you're going to anoint the new king from the household, one of Jesse's sons.
Amen.
You can imagine what's happening here. Look at verse 6. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Amen.
Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse had Sherah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? They're still the youngest, Jesse answered. But he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. We say there's no benefit in being a shepherd.
Amen.
Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power.
Amen.
You know what it says here? This is probably the most important decision in the nation of Israel. Who is going to be the next king?
Wow. Come on.
God is saying, hey, when he does something, when he chooses someone for something really important, what does he do? He looks at the heart.
Yeah.
He looks at your heart. God doesn't look at your appearance. He doesn't look at where you grew up. God doesn't look at the amount of money you have,
right,
the school you go to, even your appearance, even though that David was ruddy and handsome, whatever. God looks at your heart.
That's right.
Yeah, come on.
And I think for us, God has chosen us for something really important. Just like David had to lead the nation of Israel spiritually, God has chosen us to lead the lost world to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Come on.
Do you realize the importance of this decision? You know, God wants you to use someone, like He said to the Apostle Paul, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God.
Wow.
That's what God wants to use you for.
Hmm.
That's how important you are to God. But God looks at the heart. Let's look at chapter 13, which God predicted about David.
Come on, bro.
1 Samuel chapter 13.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14.
Come on. This is awesome.
This is Samuel talking to Saul. It says, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after His own heart and appointed him leader of His people because you have not kept the Lord's command."
Wow.
What kind of heart is God looking for? It says, when God looks at your heart, what kind of heart does He want?
Wow.
He says He wants a heart after His own.
That's right.
A heart that is just like His heart.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? And He says, that's why He chose David. He says, man, of all the people that He wants to lead His people, He wants a guy that's got a heart like God.
That's right.
Amen.
You know, when I became a disciple, I remember praying this every single morning. God, please give me a heart after Your own. Because I knew I didn't have it. I mean, I don't know where you guys come from, but I come from a sinful background. You know, I totally let go of God, even though I never was saved. But I mean, I had some kind of faith. And then I just went out there and just enjoyed the pleasures of sin.
Yeah.
And when I came back, my heart was jacked up.
Wow.
It was messed up. And so I prayed this every morning, like, God, give me a heart after Your own.
Oh.
Is that your desire?
Come on.
Is that your desire this morning? You say, man, hey, I have a degree, I'm going to school, you know, I have some dreams, whatever. But my greatest desire is that I want a heart after God's heart.
Wow. Amen.
Because if you have that desire, believe me, oh my goodness, God is going to take you and do something amazing with you.
Come on.
Like a little shepherd running, like, you know, behind the sheep. Like, you know, can you imagine him? Someone goes up to him and says, "You are going to be the next king of Israel."
Wow.
You know, and even when David was stolen, I'm pretty sure he was like, "What? I'm tending sheep here."
Right.
What if someone told you now, man, you're going to lead a church one day. You're going to lead a church of thousands. What are you going to do? It's like, well, whatever, dude. What if someone tells you, man, you're going to be a kingdom teacher? You're going to get to know the Bible, and you're going to teach to other people. What if I tell you, like, man, what if someone comes up to you and says, you're going to baptize a couple of evangelists. You're going to baptize somebody that's going to lead thousands to Christ. But you got to realize that it all comes from having a heart after God's in our heart.
That's
if
right.
if you don't have that desire, who do you really want to have a heart like? Mm-hmm. Think about it.
Come on.
If you don't want to have a heart after God's in our heart, who do you want to be like? Mother Teresa? She had a little bit, a glimpse. That Mother Teresa there, no. Mother Teresa Broom, I didn't say that. If she had a bit of God's heart, a tiny bit. So yeah, you know, you want to have a heart like that, hey, that's a heart like God to a little, smallest thing. There's nobody that really got the heart that we should imitate.
Right.
Talk about
yeah.
it.
That's
right.
Why, guys, I really wanted to focus this morning on the heart.
Come on. Amen.
Go to Jeremiah chapter 17.
Yeah.
Come on, Chris.
Yeah.
With you,
bro.
Come on, bro.
A God, a heart after God's own heart.
Come on, bro. Preach it.
Jeremiah 17. the heart is probably one of the most interesting and complex things in the whole universe.
Yep.
Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Let me ask you this question before we read this. Do you think you have a good heart? Do you think you're a good person? Like, I have a good heart. It's pretty much intact. Let's read verse 9.
Oh, okay.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Do you want to answer that now?
No.
The Bible says, it's not me, the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
And it says it's beyond cure. Don't worry about it. You're never going to be able to fix it.
Oh.
It says, who can understand it? That's our hearts, guys. So,
wow. What
does that mean for us?
Come
our
on.
Hearts are deceitful. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust yourself.
Yeah. Come on.
So that's why I want to talk. We got to talk about discipling the heart.
Come on.
I know times where I've trusted my own heart was the times I messed up the most. Because I think I had it all together and I thought my heart was really good, but it just deceived me.
Uh-huh.
I think for us, discipling is so important, guys. Because you can have someone stand on the outside and really have a good look at you and say, dude, your heart needs help.
Right.
You guys want to know what the heart is? Because we're obviously not talking about the physical heart that beats in your body.
No.
Right.
The heart in Scripture is the most comprehensive form of explaining the authentic person. It's the part of our being we desire, where we deliberate and decide. It's the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole. His feelings, his desires, his passions, his thoughts, understanding, and his will. And it's the center of a person, the place to which God turns when He looks at you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
God is more concerned about your heart than you would ever know.
Wow.
I want you guys to think about this morning. Where is your heart right now? Maybe you came here this morning really, really tired. Another campus Devo, you know.
Uh-oh.
I just got to drag my feet there. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
Or maybe you're fired up. You know, maybe like a new brother, JB, and you just can't. I mean, I remember like just every time, my heart was just, I just wanted to be everywhere. Man, if there was a kingdom tea party, I was there. Didn't care what was up, I was there.
Come on, bro.
But we should put our trust in God.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
And that's why God created this, guys. Look around you. Look at the people in this room. God has created this so that we can be involved in one another's lives,
yeah.
That we can see one another's hearts, and that we can help one another so that we don't have to be deceived.
Amen.
So I got three short points.
Oh, man, bro.
You guys want to hear it?
Yeah. Come on.
Number one, heart attack.
Hey, come on, bro.
Number two, heart transplant. And number three, healthy heartbeat.
Okay, come on, bro.
Point number one, heart attack, John chapter 15.
Come on, bro, preach your word.
So I thought we'll compare the spiritual heart to the physical heart and see what we can learn from that. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 15. So I read up a little bit on heart attacks. Funny enough, my grandmother and my grandfather died of heart attacks.
Wow.
I don't know if it runs in the family. I pray not. It says most heart attacks occur as a result of buildup of arterial plague. You know, our teeth are in that plague, but even our hearts, our veins, that can break open and cause a blood clot to form.
Oh, wow.
A blood clot
then blocks most or all of the blood that flows through the artery. The blood flow prevents oxygen from flowing to the heart muscle. The lack of oxygen damages the heart tissue, and then if treatment doesn't come quickly, that muscle and that tissue dies.
Wow.
That's how a heart attack occurs.
That's
the time. So basically, your heart just clocks up. I don't know if you guys have heard of cholesterol and stuff. It clocks up, and then the blood doesn't go through to your heart. And eventually, if there's no oxygen, blood that reaches the heart tissue, the muscle, it actually dies.
Wow.
And you get a heart attack. And what did we spiritually learn from that? John 15.
Come on.
Verse 5.
Come on, Kurt.
Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples.
Amen.
The Bible says, we are the branches and Jesus is the vine.
Yeah.
In the same way as heart, as blood needs to flow to your heart, and the same way a branch needs to get the life-giving water that comes from the root and just through the, you know, through the branch into the, to bear fruit, actually.
Yeah.
That's how our hearts work.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, if you do not remain in the Lord, and his words does not remain in you, guess what? Like a branch that is broken off and thrown into the fire. It says you are like a heart that does not receive life-giving oxygen blood. So what does it mean to remain in the Lord?
Wow, come on, bro.
What does it really mean? And I've always just thought it's just about having quiet times. Like remaining in God, and yes, that's important. That's the most important thing. You got to remain in Jesus every day, amen?
Amen.
You got to have Bible study.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to have good Bible study.
Yeah.
I'm not talking, oh yeah, I got to read my Bible, Psalm 23. That's it.
Right.
You know, I've been there. You know, you don't know what to read. I'm just going to read a Psalm for the day and close the Bible again. No, you need good Bible study.
Yeah.
Come on.
You need to have
Come
a plan
on
what you're going to study out.
Amen. Amen.
You need to let Jesus' words remain in you, it says. What does that mean? You got to go out, and the Word has got to go with you.
Yeah. Come on.
When you finish your quiet time, man, that doesn't mean you forget about it. You got to bring it to campus.
That's right. Amen.
You got to show people what you learned.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's nothing that fires me up more than going to a brother and sharing my quiet time with
yeah.
him. Because that you talk about it and then you're like, man, I actually learned this stuff. You know, you kind of remind yourself of what you learned and then you can put it into
yeah.
practice.
Yeah, come on.
That's what we got to do, guys. We got the Word's got to remain in us. We got to pray. How's your prayer life been? Prayer is really, I believe, what gets that blood flowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prayer is like you can read it, and you can. But once you start praying, God starts working.
Yeah.
Without praying, God's not going to work, guys.
Because right.
we'll just learn how prideful we are if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the tissue dies. I think this is so crucial. I've often thought, hey, it's not that bad if I skip a couple of quiet times. It's not that bad if I don't remain in God every single day. Hey, it's pretty bad if the heart doesn't get life-giving oxygen.
Yeah.
That's
true. The tissue actually dies, guys.
Yes.
If you don't remain in God, guess what? Your spiritual heart tissue might start to die.
Wow.
And I think I really just want to make sure that all of us are remaining in God.
Come on.
Because without that, guys, we will not be useful to the master.
That's right. That's right.
Without that, God's going to say, hey, man, I got to look for people after my own heart.
Come on.
That.
Yeah.
That's why we got to make sure we remain in the vine. We often ask, why did so-and-so fall away? I don't know if you guys are always shocked when someone falls away. It's like, oh man, I thought he was doing well. I thought he was coming to all the meetings. Guess what? That brother or sister had stopped receiving life-giving oxygen
yeah.
to the spiritual heart a long time ago.
Wow, come on.
And that can be prevented if we can help people see that before it happens.
Amen.
That's why we got to be involved in one another's lives, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter how long you've been a disciple. You might be 1 day, 2 years, 10 years as a disciple. You know, if you can't major in the minor, guess what? You're just as easy a target for Satan as a young disciple.
That's right.
Yeah. And I believe the ABCs of Christianity, you know, reading, praying, sharing your faith, that is what will prevent a spiritual heart attack.
Yeah,
because
come on.
Because when someone falls away, guess what happens? They had a spiritual heart attack.
Yeah.
They had a spiritual heart attack. What else causes spiritual heart attacks? I believe confusion. You know, when someone studies the Bible, what are we trying to do? We're trying to take, like, something and shock their heart. Like, come on. You know?
Right, right.
We're trying to get him going.
Come on, bro.
When a brother is about to fall,
come on, bro.
When someone is about to, you know, fall away, and you're trying to get in there and trying to help this brother or sister, you're trying to, like, jumpstart that heart.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But when you are confused, you easily are swayed by your own deceitful heart.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, when you read the scriptures, you almost get to a point of like, this doesn't make sense anymore. Like what once was really deep conviction, now really becomes something that's blurry. I'm not exactly sure, should I do this or not?
Wow.
You know, when you study the Bible with someone and they don't clearly see they got to repent, they got to be a disciple, they got to get baptized, they got to be part of the kingdom. When they don't see that, it's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
They're confused.
That's right.
Yeah,
but in most people, because Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so if someone doesn't see it and they're confused, I believe it just comes from an unwillingness to obey the scriptures.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Confusing kicks in when there's an unwillingness to obey scripture.
That's right.
I know many times people have helped me with my pride. Like, you know, that's one of my core struggles is my pride. And then brothers would be like, bro, turn to Proverbs 18:2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but the light in hearing his own opinion. And I know it's coming. And then I'm like, almost I resent that scripture. I'm like, don't show that to me. You know? I don't say that to him, but that's what I say in my heart. And then I read it, and I'm like, you know? And then I'm like, but no, you're right. You know, we should be confident. You know, we should be. And I try to justify myself. Like, pride is weak, humility is weakness, and all this confusion kicks in.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I'm unwilling to obey. I'm just unwilling to obey. And I think for us guys, if you may be confused this morning about a couple of things, just check your heart.
Mm.
Are you willing to obey? Are you really willing just to sit down and let people tell you what you're not following in the Bible? Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Come on, bro, this is great.
Come on, bro. Awesome, come on.
2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5.
Come on, Chris.
Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. The Bible says we should examine ourselves, guys. We should test ourselves. Now, what does people do in the world do when they think they're about to have a heart attack? They go and they check their blood pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go check your blood pressure, if you have a high blood pressure, you got to worry, man. This is something going on. Spiritually speaking, it says we should examine ourselves. It's just you should even test yourself to see if you're still living the life in the faith, you know, and that Christ Jesus is in you. I believe you can easily check yourself by just asking yourself four questions. One is, how's my zeal?
2, how's my joy? 3, do I have hope? And 4, do I have faith?
Wow, come on.
Those, I think that's the spiritual blood pressure meter right there. Are you zealous about God? Are you zealous for His honor? Are you zealous for His kingdom? Zealous for His church? Zealous that other people can sit with you in this room and your campus can be converted?
Come on, bro. Amen.
If you lack zeal, I would never be lacking in zeal. If you're not zealous about this, man, maybe there is some blood clots there in the vein.
Come on, bro. Come on.
Maybe there's something blocking the flow of blood to your heart. How's your joy? Now, I'm not saying joy is like always like, you know.
Come on, bro.
There's a joy that you get from being a disciple.
Yeah. Come on.
There's a joy that, man, my sins are forgiven. Yeah. You know, I come to church, hey, everybody's not like me and I'm not like everybody, but I love everybody.
Yeah.
And you're joyful about being at church. How's your hope? Do you have hope that God will change things around you?
Talk about it.
Do you have hope for your campus?
Come on.
Do you have hope for your family?
No.
And lastly, do you have faith? Do you have faith that God's going to use you in great ways?
Yeah.
Do you have faith that God is going to raise you up and God's going to do things with you that you could never imagine?
Mm-hmm.
If you're faithless, hey, I think there's a couple of blood clots.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
A lack of faith totally shows that, man, you got to work on your heart.
That's right, bro.
Yeah.
What else causes heart attacks? Sin. Unconfessed sin. If you have sin in your life that you're not talking about, that you're not getting open about, guess what? That's a blood clot right there.
Yeah.
And that is not a maybe. That's a definite heart attack on its way.
That's right. Yeah.
If you're not getting help with your sin and the things that you're struggling with, you can have a heart attack overnight. Bang. And you won't know what happened to your heart. You know, one day you'll just be like, you just don't feel like coming to church. You just won't feel like reading your Bible. You just won't feel like doing it.
Wow, come on.
And that's how a heart attack occurs. And then without realizing it, you had a spiritual heart attack.
Wow.
And you're not with God anymore. There's a joke I read last night. So it's a Japanese. They eat very little fat, yet they have fewer heart attacks than the British or the Americans. It says the French, though, eat a lot of fat, but they also have fewer heart attacks than the British and the Americans. It says the Japanese drinks very little red wine, and yet they suffer fewer heart attacks than the British and Americans. But the Italians drink excessive red wine, and yet they have fewer heart attacks than British and Americans. So what's the conclusion? Speaking English gives you heart attacks. Eat and drink what you want. It's speaking English that kills you. We obviously know that's not true. Okay? You got to watch what you eat. But I think for us, I think a lot of times we think, hey, I can do what I want. I can do what I want. That's not going to kill me spiritually.
Yeah, wow.
It's speaking English that will kill me. You know? But Jesus, out of the heart comes evil thoughts.
Yeah.
And all the other sins of greed and everything that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't check our hearts, guys, we'll just be another figure. We'll just be another number.
That's right.
That had a heart attack.
That's right.
And
that's
not with God.
That's right.
How can we prevent heart attacks? We talked about reading your Bible and praying every day.
Amen.
Get open about sin. If there's sin in your heart right now, there's a blood clot, you can get it out. Just talk to someone. Get help about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, and lastly, go for regular checkups.
Come
like
on.
I said, examine yourself. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. When was the last time you stood back and said, hey, how am I really doing spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
How is me and God? How are we doing? My relationship with Him?
Oh, come on, bro.
If you don't know, go to someone that you care about, someone that knows you. Say, bro, how do you think I'm doing? Someone you respect, you know, I mean, someone that
you know, you feel like walks with the Lord. Bro, how you feel I'm doing? You know, do you feel like I'm zealous? Do you feel like I'm faithful? Do you feel like, does it look like I have hope? Does it look like I have joy? And then be humble when you get the response.
Man.
You know, be humble and take it like a man. Because otherwise you might just have a heart attack.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Number two. Heart transplant.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Great, bro.
Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Back to Jeremiah.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Back to verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. God says, even though your heart's deceitful, He's actually the one that searches your heart.
Yeah.
But then, interestingly enough, in verse 10, He says, you know, I search heart, examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what your deeds deserve.
Yeah.
Guys, your deeds only shows God what's in your heart.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to someone and they're like, you study the Bible if they may be, and they're like, oh well, God knows my heart.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, even sometimes, guys, we can get that religious. You know, when someone tries to help you about something that's, you know, not following the scriptures, you're like, well, God knows my heart. God knows I love Him. So God does know your heart. He examines it.
Yeah.
And guess what? He will reward you according to what your conduct and your deeds deserve. You guys don't believe me? Revelation chapter 2.
Oh. Come on, bro.
Okay, we're coming.
Let's go, bro. Come on.
This is awesome.
Come on.
Come on. Bring the fire.
Hey, guys, if you... Get this. If you've been baptized, if you repented, you got baptized. Guess what you got? Colossians 2 says you got a heart transplant.
Dang!
You had a heart transplant. If Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. God says, I know your deeds, your hard works, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Wow. God just starts up here and He's like, hey guys, I know your deeds. And what did the church in Ephesus, they did show God? That they lost their first love.
Wow.
That's what it showed God. He says, man, I know your deeds, I know the things you do, but yet I can see you've lost your first love.
Yeah.
They stopped doing the things they did at first.
Mm.
The lack of deeds of the things they did at first showed God the lack of their first love.
Wow.
Take a look at chapter 3.
Come on.
We all know the scripture so well. Revelation 3 verse 15.
Come on, bro.
I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Whoa. Again, the Lord is saying, hey, guess what? You know your heart? God knows. Yep. I know your deeds.
Oh.
God knows your deeds. And what did it show here? It says, hey, they were not hot from their heart, but they were not cold either. They became lukewarm. Let me ask you this. Where's your heart this morning?
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you know? It's easy, guys. God's given you the measure. What did you do this week? What's your deed the last week, the last 2 weeks? I know it sounds like you know, we're talking about works, justification, or, you know, saved by works. No, it's not. God has set it up like that to help us understand our own hearts.
Yeah.
Because remember, the heart's deceitful above all things.
That's right.
So how can you know where your heart is at? Look at what you did.
Yeah.
The deeds totally reveal where your heart
That's right, bro.
Is at.
Great point.
That's why we can help one another, guys. You know what you did this last week?
Come on.
You can seek help. You know what some of your brothers and sisters did. You can give help.
Yeah.
Right.
You can disciple the heart.
Yeah.
When you look at someone's deeds, you can disciple their heart. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean you should blast in when someone doesn't wash the dishes.
Wow.
Bro, this is the third time you don't wash the dishes. You know what? I'm tired of you not washing the dishes because you are just flat out disgusting. I ain't going to help anything. Maybe that person is just lazy. Maybe he wants to wash the dishes, but he struggles with laziness. Maybe it's just selfishness. Doesn't consider others. You know, wash dishes, puts it back in there, and does his own thing. What if someone's spending more time with non-disciples than spending time with disciples? Should you go blasting them? Hey, bro, why are you spending so much time with those people? Or is this a heart problem?
Right.
Like someone doesn't feel loved.
Yeah.
They don't feel appreciated. They don't feel encouraged. That's the heart that's got to get discipled there.
Yeah.
And you can disciple through encouragement, correction, or rebuke. What if someone wants to date a non-disciple? What if someone's heart is out there like, man, I just want to get a girlfriend. I just want to get a boyfriend. I know they're not a disciple, but they are so sincere. There's a heart problem there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to check, why would someone want a boyfriend or a girlfriend that doesn't love God?
Yeah.
That doesn't seek first the kingdom?
Right.
And you got to disciple the heart. Maybe they've lost trust in God.
Wow.
That God can work all things out for them. What if someone's not sharing their faith? Should you blast them and say, bro, why are you not out there sharing your faith? Or should you disciple the heart and say, you know what? Are you fearful?
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid to walk on campus by yourself or grab a brother and share your faith?
Okay.
Are you maybe faithless? Do you feel like God cannot use you, so why bother even sharing your faith?
Wow.
You see how we got to get to the heart, guys.
Yeah.
Once you change the heart, the deeds will change.
Yeah.
Right.
But first we got to look at the deeds to get to the heart, right?
Yeah, come on. Yeah. That makes sense. Come on, bro.
Ezekiel chapter 36.
This is great, bro. Come on.
Well, I don't know all of you guys personally. I don't know exactly where you're at. I don't know if you've been a disciple for a long time. Maybe you're studying the Bible right now, making some awesome decisions. Maybe you just got baptized last night.
Yeah.
Maybe you're getting a heart transplant tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, get this. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you.
Amen.
I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God.
Amen.
Guys, God wants to give you a new heart. And I don't know if that means for you just repenting of things in your life, getting help. But God says, hey, He is so excited to remove your heart of stone and to fill it with a heart of flesh that's eager to follow God.
Mm-hmm.
If your heart is hardened by sin, guys, if you sit here and maybe did something the last couple of days, maybe something the last month, and it's just eating your conscience,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that God cannot forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's nothing that God cannot forget about and get you to be fired up to follow Him again.
Amen.
If you're faithless or hopeless, hey, God can fill you with a heart that's on fire.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, guys, I was about as weak as you can get. I was a disciple back in Cape Town. I was working for a company called Semantic, making thousands every week. Thought I was living the high life, bought a house, a car. Just thought I was on top of my spiritual game, close to God. God must be blessing me. My heart was so hopeless and faithless. I lost the dream that God wants to save the world. I was totally out there. Forget this. God gave me a heart transplant.
Amen.
You got my heart beating again.
Come on.
You're prideful, guys. Maybe pride is the problem. Get this. God can take that heart out and put a humble heart in there. The first heart transplant was actually done by a doctor in South Africa. And I'm very proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, his name was also Chris.
Oh.
Chris Barnard. No, that's got nothing to do with me, though. But it was done on the 3rd of December, 1967. It took 9 hours and a team of 30 doctors.
Wow.
To do this heart transplant. Now, Chris Barnard, the doctor, later wrote a book.
Yeah.
And in the book he said this. They asked him about, is it difficult for a person to get a heart transplant? He said, for a dying man, it is not a difficult decision to get a new heart. He knows he's at his life's end. He says, if a lion chases you to the bank of a river filled with crocodiles, will you not leap into the water, persuaded that you can have a chance to swim to the other side? If a lion chases you, guys, to the bank of a river and there's crocodiles in there, are you going to jump in and believe you can make it to the other side?
Yeah.
Or are you going to stand there and let the lion devour you?
Wow.
Guys, I think some of us are standing on the riverbank waiting for the lion to devour us.
Wow.
So I think it's time to jump into the water.
Yeah.
And swim like there's no tomorrow.
Right? Yeah, come on, bro.
Because if you're willing to do that, God is going to give you a heart transplant.
That's right.
A heart that's on fire. A heart that's moved to want to follow Him and do great things for Him that you would never have imagined.
Come on. That's awesome, bro.
Last one.
Come on.
Healthy heartbeat.
Amen.
Psalm 51.
Keep it coming, bro.
So, heart attack, hopefully none of us will have one.
Yeah.
Heart transplant, all of us have had one. Maybe you need one today. Healthy heartbeat is what we all need.
Right.
Psalm 51 was written by, remember we read about David?
Yeah.
The chosen one. The man after God's own heart. By this time, what happened? David has drifted from God. David's heart had become lukewarm. It said in the book of Samuel, when kings go off to war, David stayed at home. He looked from the roof, saw Bathsheba. He slept with her. She conceived. He killed her husband. And then God just totally took David out. Let's read what David wrote. Psalm 51, verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Guys, this is David's view, I believe, of a healthy heartbeat for God.
Come on.
David totally lost that healthy heart for God. You know, and I believe he had a spiritual heart attack. But when he came back, he wrote this. And he says, God, hide your face from my sins. And he says, create in me a pure heart. You know, it says a steadfast spirit. He says, restore to me the joy of being saved. The joy of having my salvation.
Come on.
Grant me a willing spirit that I'll be willing to do the work of God, that I'll be willing to go anywhere.
Amen.
And that I can go out and teach transgressors your ways so that sinners can turn back to you. Isn't it awesome?
Wow. Yeah.
This is a healthy heartbeat.
Come on.
Does this describe your heart, God?
Mm.
Will you say, God, create this in me? You know, when someone creates something, it's not just like, bam. It's like God takes time to create the heart in you. How did He use it for the people of Israel? He sent Ezekiel. He said, hey, I want to create in you a pure heart. I want to give you, remove your heart of stone.
Mm.
What did Jesus do? Matthew 28, He says, go make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them to obey.
Yeah.
Guys, that's how we are taught.
Yeah.
I didn't just become a disciple. Someone had to teach me.
Yeah.
Mm.
None of you guys just became disciples. Someone had to teach you.
That's right.
None of us are just going to obey the Bible every single day.
That's right.
We have to be taught.
Amen.
Our hearts need to be discipled. It says here, renew a steadfast spirit in me. And in verse 12 it says, a willing spirit. Now it talks about the physical heart pumps, the function of the physical heart is to pump blood to all parts of your body. You know, if you're a biology major, or maybe medicine, you know, if I'm wrong, just come to me afterwards. But that's the function of the heart. It pumps blood to all areas of your body. It also says that a healthy heart beats steadily and rhythmically. I knew I was going to mess it up. Rhythmically.
Come on, bro.
Guys, if you're not a steady disciple, if you're like a roller coaster, guess what? You got to check your heartbeat. If you don't feel like, man, you don't have a willing spirit, I think the blood's not going to all areas of your body. If you don't have what it says here, a steadfastness about your relationship with God, you got to check your heartbeat. How can we check our heartbeat? How can we help our heartbeat to be steady? Last scripture, Philippians chapter 3.
Come on, bro.
This is amazing.
Come on, bro.
Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. I love this. It says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Paul is saying, guys, there is a pattern that we got to live by.
Right.
We got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus.
Amen.
There is a pattern that as a disciple of Christ that you live by day by day.
Right.
And Paul says, hey, Paul is saying there's some who's living this pattern. And guess what we got to do? We got to take note of them.
Amen.
And then verse 17, it starts up, it says, join with them. Join with those who live in that pattern. Guys, if you see someone with a healthy heartbeat for God, just leech onto him.
Amen.
You know, just onto her. Just make that brother or sister your best friend. Open yourself up to that person and say, hey, I want you to help me. My heart needs a kickstart. I want to have a steadfast heart, a willing heart that beats for God every heartbeat of every single day.
Come on.
And if you, God, I believe we do that. I have a great example, a brother in New York, Zach. I don't know if you guys know Zach, the drummer. Zach's about 34, 35 years old. Been a disciple for 10 years. I'm trying to work out 35. Been a disciple for about 12 years, I think.
Wow.
Awesome guy. I mean, played, toured the world playing drums for Grey Boy All-Stars, opened for Dave Matthews.
Wow.
You know, really great drummer. Became a disciple, gave it all up to see God's kingdom first.
Amen.
Came to New York, you know, mission team of about 20, 22 people. And I always respected Zach, thinking, man, this guy's, you know, cranking it. And one day he's like, bro, I have a study. I want you to lead it. I was like, why? Zach goes, bro, I want to learn.
Amen.
I want to learn how to do this. I was like, bro, I got to learn from you, man. He's like, no. I want to humble myself.
Yeah.
He said, I want to humble myself and learn how to be effective. Basically, how to be useful to the master.
Man.
And guess what? He entered a drumming competition. The guy who won with him, he shared his faith with him, came out to Bible talk, started studying the Bible, and tomorrow Zach is baptizing Rama.
Amen. Awesome. Come on.
Guess what? Zach became useful to the master.
Amen. Right.
He started joining with others and following the example of Christ. Guys, God wants us to be men and women after His own heart. Don't get caught out by Satan's attack and have a heart attack. Check yourself. Examine yourself today. Don't wait too long to get a heart transplant. And if you had a heart transplant, man, let that encourage you to go out and teach others.
Yeah.
You know, to have a healthy heart for God.
Yeah.
The goal is we should have a heartbeat, guys, for God that beats every minute in our chest. That's like a fire here that we can feel like beating for God. When we come to church, man, we are fired up. We go to campus and share our faith. Guess what? We are fired up. We baptize JV. Tomorrow, Brittany. We are fired up.
Yeah.
So that we can see this world evangelized for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.